king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, you are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So, were they kings? It doesn't say. How many of them were there? It doesn't say. We don't know. It's a tradition, isn't it? It's a tradition, so we shouldn't really get hooked up on how many or who they were. I mean, it doesn't even really say where they're from. It just says from the east. So, yeah, it's a nice tradition we've got, and that comes from around the 5th century, from a manuscript that was found in Armenia. That's the history of it. That's the first mention of the names of the wise men, or the three kings. Interesting to know. The kind of main reason why we think there's three is actually because of the three gifts. I didn't really want to get held up on what the gifts were, and I didn't really want to get held up on the star, so we won't really be looking into those. What I wanted to look at is who they were, history-wise, and how it kind of ties into prophecy, which we've been discussing a fair amount this morning. So, traditionally, the Magi were historically, we have records dating back to 500 BC from King Darius. Anyone know who he was?
Persia.
Yes, he was the king of Persia, Medo-Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. And I believe Daniel was also the head honcho who counseled. And he, in 500 BC, mentioned that the Magi were actually a tribe of the Medes, or the Medo-Persians. Which is interesting, because it's almost like similar to the tribe of Levi in the 12 tribes of Judah. So there's a parallel to that. And we also have Herodotus in 430 also mentioning the same thing. The Magi were actually a tribe of Magi. They weren't just a tribe. They weren't just a people. It was only until about 370 BC that we realised that the accounts, that the wording of Magi actually changes to a priestly class of Persians. And that's, we have that record of Xenophon of Athens. It's a cool name. The reason why I wanted to bring this into history is because it's not a story. The Magi were a real thing in history. We know from the historical records that there was a thing. It actually stems from Persian origins, and then we have, the reason why we call them Magi is because it's Greek for magician. But by the time we get to the New Testament, it's where it changes. The term has slowly become more generalized. So you've had a tribe, then you become a class of people around 370 BC. And then when you come to the first century, the term no longer really represents a priestly class. It almost just kind of generalizes anyone who is an astrologer, stars, a magician, an enchanter, a sorcerer. And we kind of know that from Acts when Barnabas, I haven't written it down, but there's a verse in Acts where they meet a magician who is trying to persuade someone away from the truth, and he says, "Why, O man, how dare you," basically. So we know from first century, that it no longer meant this priestly class, but it's a nice thought, I guess, that we have. And it also stems from the time that Daniel spent in Persia, or in Babylon, when he was under King Nebuchadnezzar, and then Darius, and then Cyrus. So we have this continuity, I guess. So, in Matthew 2, where is he who is born King of the Jews, or who is the Messiah and have come to worship him? So, what I find interesting with the Magi, not only are they an historical kind of people, but they're not Jews. They're Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is it's the Gentiles that seem to know about the Jewish Messiah. Mm-hmm. So how would they have known? Mm-hmm. So the theory goes that when Daniel was in Persia, mm-hmm. he prophesied to the Magi of the time about the coming of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Obviously Daniel being a Jewish man, prophesied about the signs and the comings of the Lord. And it's a bit of a marvel to think that after 500 years they still remember. You can't, it's a theory, we can't technically say it's actually the case, but it seems to make sense from history and the book of Daniel when you read it. So they come to Herod, don't they? They come to Herod and they say, "Where is the King of the Jews?" It's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? You go to the king and you say, "Where's the king?" And Herod goes, "Well, I'm the king. I'm not really the king, am I?" Mm-hmm. But Herod again, is a historical figure, as we know, and he was crowned by the Romans in 37 BC, King of the Jews. He was called King of the Jews by the Romans. So how dare these wise men come along and say, "Oh, I'm not King of the Jews." No wonder he was mad. But the Magi obviously weren't there for the earthly king, the politically appointed king in Jerusalem. They were there for the one whose birth was written in the stars. Mm-hmm. They had followed this star, some say about 800 to 900 miles, just to worship a Jewish Messiah. Mm-hmm. Again, these Gentiles coming to worship a Jewish Messiah. And it's also another interesting fact that there wasn't three. We can't really say there was three, because who's there to guard all this really expensive gifts that they have? Mm-hmm. Gold, very expensive. Frankincense, three times more expensive apparently than myrrh at the time. And myrrh, also very expensive. But also notice that they didn't bring a gift. It doesn't mention that they have brought a gift to Herod. So at the time it was customary to go to, when you visited a place, you would give a gift to the leader or the king in that area. But there's no mention of a gift given to the king in Jerusalem. There's only a gift given to the king of the Jews, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was another reason why Herod was quite mad. He didn't get a gift two reason and not a king, and didn't get a gift. So they were kingly gifts, you know, they were gifts for royalty, they were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they understood something that the others seemed to not understand, and that Christ, when he was born, was a king from birth. Mm-hmm. He was the ordained king. He's been king forever, let's face it. So they knew the prophecy. It seems like they knew the prophecy from Daniel. But what about the religious leaders? So when they get to Jerusalem, they say, where's the king of the Jews? And then all the priests and the scribes come along and they're like, this is a bit strange, isn't it? Why are people coming along and asking for the king of the Jews? What do we not know? But the religious leaders, it seems, at the time, they weren't seeking for the Messiah. I mean, they had some false messiahs cropping up every now and again when we look through history. But they weren't seeking the Messiah. It seems as if they were blind. They just weren't looking at things. But they knew about the prophecy. We've read the prophecies this morning. We've read Micah. We've read Isaiah. They knew Jesus or the Messiah was coming. They just didn't know when. And they also knew the town. They say, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea. They knew the town. They knew the place he was going to be born. But they weren't prepared. The Magi, they watched for the signs. Mm-hmm. And they trusted in the sign that it would show them where the Christ was born. And they followed the light that they were given. So how does this relate to us this morning? Hopefully this Christmas period. Well, first the Magi remind us that Jesus was born for all peoples. Mm-hmm. Now the Magi, non-Jews, coming to worship a Jewish Messiah. Mm-hmm. Man. But isn't that a parallel to what we read later on in Galatians? That Jesus there is neither Jew, nor Greek, nor slave, nor free. But you are all one in Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like just a foreshadowing of all that. And it shows us from the very beginning that God was always drawing the nations to him. Mm-hmm. We have Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, people throughout all of the Old Testament coming to seek the Lord. And that God's plan was always to bring all peoples to his righteous covenant. The second, I can almost imagine it as a story of faith and perseverance. You know, they had the faith that when they started their journey 900 miles back, that they would actually find someone at the end of it. I mean, they probably went to Jerusalem because they were like, well, surely he's at the capital. He has to be. Surely they would know him, and they'd bring him to the capital and pronounce him king. No. Mm-hmm. They had to go. They went to Jerusalem first, and then to Bethlehem afterwards. So they didn't go to their destination immediately. But they followed the signs faithfully. You know, they followed the star, and then when they weren't quite sure, they asked someone on the way. Mm-hmm. Unlike me, when I asked for directions. but they were trusting in God that He would lead them where they needed to go. And third, I think, is a reminder for readiness. Reminds me of the parable later on in Matthew where he's talking about the 10 young women waiting for the bridegroom, where only 5 are prepared. Because we're waiting again, aren't we? We're waiting for the signs. Well, probably not the signs because no one knows the day they are. But we're waiting upon our Lord to come back. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on him to put an end to this misery that seems to be happening all around us. I mean, it's getting very dire out there. I'm not sure it's going to get any better. Call me pessimistic. But, I mean,
But yeah, we should be waiting or seeking Christ, I think, more. I know for myself, especially, I mean, I definitely need to seek the Lord more, especially in my day to day. But like the 10 young women, only 5 were prepared. So I want to be prepared for when Christ comes again. And the people of Jerusalem knew, but they didn't seek the Lord. And I don't want to be like those 5 or the Jews at this time who were not actually waiting or watching or seeking. Well, I want to be like the Magi. I want to be ready. I want to be seeking. I want to be following the Lord and all He does. All He does for me. So Jesus was born to fulfill prophecy, but not only for those surrounding His first coming, but it speaks also of His second coming, I think. Well, Philippians 2:10 to 11. So at the end, Jesus, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So whatever state the world is in, whatever burdens we are carrying, we can always be confident that Jesus is there. He's in control. God's there. Has everything in hand. If only we seek. If only we turn our face to Him. It kind of reminds me when thinking of the Magi, when they're following the star. But when flowers in the morning and the sun rises, the first thing they do is point themselves to the sun and follow the sun. And then it goes down and then they go back. And then they turn to the whole thing every day. I want to be kind of like, I want to keep following. Turning my face to Him. So, God's promises have started in Genesis and they will end with the very words from Revelation. Where it says, at the very end, it says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen, come Lord Jesus. So let us be like the wise men. Because we are Gentiles after all. be watching, ready and seeking. And let us seek the King of the Jews. Amen.